This morning, shall we turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12? The book of Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll read verse 28. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This morning, I want us to think about the theme of the unmovable kingdom. But in our verse, we are told that believers are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, which cannot be shaken, which cannot pass away. You know, before I go deeply into this verse, you know that the book of Hebrews was written to demonstrate the superior and the glorious nature of the New Testament church, the gospel church, how in doctrine, in worship and practices, in doctrine, because in the Old Testament many things are taught in types, and some many things are taught in a way difficult sometimes to understand, and which even those prophets who spoke about them were not even having clear understanding. And yet, in the New Testament, the doctrines are clearer. There's a clear light for us. And also the worship. You know, the Old Testament worship had a lot of ceremonies and other things to be done. And also even their practices, there were so many things to be done which were way off from what was done in the New Testament church. So the writer of the book of Hebrews, that's the purpose, to set the two, Christ himself and his church, and also the Old Testament, which was representing Christ and the church of old, and how the New Testament church, the gospel church of Christ, is superior and glorious than that of the Old Testament. And he also, the book of Hebrews, you can see how the writer also describes how perpetual or permanent Christ's church is because of its spiritual nature. And So in contrasting the temporal kingdom and the elemental nature of the tabernacle worship, which later turned to the temple worship, which God through Moses established. You know, the Old Testament worship, God gave the how they should worship to Moses when he gave him all the laws. If you go to the book of Leviticus, all the others are there in the other parts of scripture. And so it was in the tent worship where they gathered to worship. And later when the temple was built, it was transferred to that. So, and it was given to Israel as a nation. They were a nation and also a church. And you know, their worship, though it was divinely ordained by God, yet it was represented in a physical form. It has more of material and outward beauty and order. Remember, as I said, the tent, the temple, even the temple, what they used to worship, there were so many holy vessels. They say there were the altar, there were the spoons, and many, many things which were consecrated to God to sacrifice and other things. And remember also the sacrificial system itself, which is being supervised by the priest, and nobody can do except the priest and all that. And also the laws concerning this, food and dresses. The American is also a share. There is a two one. This is a summon. Now, I want no I said, If you say, upon two money, a summon on your eye, the best is up where a sorry dying one, no move, a sigono. And no Moses, now what day, and Brown would be best to be near the man. Mrao man and running ya okay Leviticus book of Leviticus in Adia seven ya and ya kasa emu almost someone do ya kasa e wani su ni nyoma I say dey ni hu ni ade en su yakopon na e dey ma omo e ya dey yakopon na e dey see ho so omo emfa enso na emu na nyoma bebere omo a ya dey nyoma dey sisi e sisi ho a na e jina ma if you say Hebrew 9 verse 1. It says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and worldly sanctuary. But say, upon any kind of war, you know, my uncle, a civil eye, a female coupon. That sounds to war, and uncle Paul Chabby and never satisfy, and you know, my dear new. So that in the old testament, unless you go to where God has named it, like in the temple or the time of the tabernacle, you have to go to where the tabernacle was, where you can worship God acceptably. So people have to travel so many miles even to Jerusalem to go and worship at that place. I mean, you cannot organize any church anywhere except at Jerusalem where the temple of the Lord is. So you see that it has that material and also physical activity. You know, it was even temporary, but it was to pave way for the perpetual kingdom of Christ, which was to remain forever. And everything that was done was a preparation that when Christ comes, that he will come and bring, establish that worship which shall never be taken away. So, you see, in a New Testament church, any place a church can be established, as long as it meets the requirements given us in the New Testament, where there are believers, where there are people who want to worship and the church can be established. Unlike the Old Testament, you cannot just start a church anywhere except Jerusalem, where the worship of God was. So you see that even one of the greatest heresies of our time, people seem to like to go back to the Old Testament way of worship and take things like, for instance, we see pastors acting like priests, taking confessions and make people, I think they stand in between God and man. No, that will not be taken away. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. He only stands between man and God. And also, you see, some of the churches are using this anointing oil and many other things as if, God is going back again to pick the things he has put away. So whoever wants to worship in the order of the Old Testament system is in heresy, is in error. Even the worship itself, as the praises and the singing, people still want to take that of the Old Testament system where there's that kind of beauty and the created kind of worship. It is no more. It has been taken away. The New Testament worship is simple. All believers are involved and everything is done. As worshipers come together, there's less of physical beauty about the New Testament worship. It's about the heart and how God deals with people. So this passage from which I selected my text of meditation this morning, the contrast was continued. And so if you look at verse 18 down, he was showing the atmosphere where God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. If you read verse 18 down, you see that he said that, for he had not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, you know, unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. It goes on, and he said that Moses himself even quaked at the giving of the law. So here he was setting again the atmosphere of giving, at the time of giving of the law, meaning that we show the terror and the darkness of that of the time, of the environment shows how the people were far from God. They cannot have that direct communion with God at that time, because it was a time, it was under the old system and the law, and all those things were at work. Nathan said, So in contrast to the old and the new, the gospel which came, the gospel which came by the Lord Jesus Christ from Isaiah, which we read from verse, he talked of that from verse 22. But he had come, talking about believers who are in the New Testament church, he had come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So that the New Testament church, Christ himself came and established. The Old Testament church was given, like Moses was their mediator. Moses stood in between them and the people, back, and the law was given them, and it was under the law, though it had the animal sacrifices which were representing Christ, I mean, as mediation, where people can relate to God. But it was more of the law operating at the time. But in the New Testament church, we have Emmanuel, Christ with us. Christ came. And I remember when the angels were announcing his birth, they said that peace on earth, there's peace on earth. Why? Because Christ has come so that all men everywhere can have a reconciliation with God without any human help, without any priestly sacrifices. But through Christ Jesus, there's peace on earth. Man can be reconciled to God. The Jewish system of animal sacrifices, the system of worship, which was so regular, have been taken away. Now Christ's church has been established, and that is the new order of worship for the New Testament church. The Ekan said, "For some of those who miss money, Emranona Moses Mushroniya." You know, say, "Opa verse 28, 22." I say, "I did it for Abba Mount Zion, Abba Yakub Kwana Gasani Krum. Ah, yeah, Jerusalem Bufron, a fishro. Ah, a buffalo will break out." Now to us, I'll say, I'm sorry, I actually didn't do a stroke at the moment. And then I can say, yes, Christo, Emmanuel, or Ba, you know, Bible, or Emmanuel, Yako Poma, one or Panoni, Ababetina. If we said, it's a non Yako Noti, a penis, a pandemic, and I said, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. But this Yako Poma, but it's not any far better now, but it's not any far, I come in. If we said Yako Poma, if I saw only paying Yanya in Cabo, so the car, I say, Babu, and he said, asomdwe ba if we say na yam pon a e nipa nipa yam pon tanfo no yam pon aka abon ho a o ma yesu to ba ye obeyi amboa afore bon na na o bo no obeyi esomo ana eye edin se so nipa no so ojine me nyoma bibra na account obeyi ni nya efi ho nte sa nte che mu na book no ko kan hebrew na ni nya ewo. So now let's come to our text this morning, and let's think about this kingdom that cannot be moved. Because we have to understand how this kingdom came about and why this kingdom. Because the old system too was a system which God accepted, which those who did it faithfully were accepted with God. They were also believers. They were also people of God. They were not inferior to us, but only that their system they had, ours is greater and superior, and then ours is more brighter with more glory. So in our text, who. What we do this morning, we'll consider the first part of our text. The first part of our text. Wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. Wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. So the first thing to ask, what is the nature of this kingdom? If they say, yeah, in some kind, verse 28, you know, Hebrews 12:28, you know, you have to share verse, the kind of thing. Ah, I say, na ye nya a hindia yen to me and ye and fi home. I'm saying, and the Mr. Bidikan decided to say, sir, hindia way, I can say. That's the first question we have to ask, because what is that kingdom? And what does it represent? Firstly, this kingdom is not the kingdom of God's providence. You know that God rules all, I mean, throughout all the world. Heaven and earth, all creation is under God's dominion. Satan, his demons, everyone is under God's dominion. It's a kingdom, a general kingdom. That is called the kingdom of God's providence. He decides what to be done, even the wicked. The sinners who don't love, they are under his authority. See, this is a kingdom which is different from this kingdom which God rules over all things. That's that. So this kingdom that God rules over all things, that's not what we are talking about here, that we receive in a kingdom. It's different from that. But this is a spiritual kingdom which Christ came to set up in this world. We call it his mediatorial kingdom. That is a kingdom that he stood in between, that people can enter only through him. His mediatorial kingdom. A kingdom that is like if you want entrance to maybe this gate, it has to open for you before you come. And the one who stands there open for you, you come to that level. You have to have access. And to the kingdom of Christ, Christ is the one who gives access. And he is the one who represents us in that kingdom. So he established this kingdom in righteousness. In Hebrew 1, we have read that thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. The Ayakan is said, sir, a Hindi way no Ayakan. And yeah, Hindi is said, you say, we are sinning as should be piano. Rather than go the DB Biasu. I pay for a bonsam at the Boyan for any papa food, and you have to do anyway, I think they can scare the crying uncle. But in your American wants them over about what they come once. When you are Hindi, now, he is used to a buyer at the best sea home. A Hindi is used to a buyer, but say, I don't know, he is not for a master, a Hindi way. Now, you say, a Hindi, no, or the sea home, or 10 a.m. Now, I can't go on, I'll say, now, or 10 a.m., no cheap money. Or you'll be an or 10 a.m., no cheap money. In Jeremiah 23, verse 6, we read that, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He is a righteous king who came to establish a righteous kingdom. You know, Jesus Christ himself, it's not that it is his title, he himself, he was righteous. We are told in scripture that he was wholly harmless, undefiled, which no human being can claim that. Even Adam himself cannot claim that. The angels who are not being sinned cannot claim that. He was wholly harmless, undefiled, he did no sin, and in his mouth was found no guile. Who can ever live in this world that his mouth will never speak about him? It cannot be. But Christ, because he loved righteousness, because he was righteous himself, there was no sin found in him. Nobody can point sin in him. In his heart, in his life, there was no sin. So in establishing this kingdom, righteous kingdom, he provided righteousness for all who he bring into this kingdom. Yeah, can I say? This Christos are Hindi way, or the turn in a tear. Now, you say, Bible says, we go, Jeremiah said, you say, you're a friend, you're right, you're a turning in. And yes, I'm like I said, and you say, idea, and a body cake, and you're wrong as an issue. Bible says, or your crown crown, a Pipian canoe, why your bonita? They say, Tom, our better than we are seeing Mugrano, now no uncle bonita. Bonnie be enough, and I'm saying, we are so being noticed that above one of the ground, mean that somewhere from closer, but you choose to pet and I'm not away from God. And the mirror always sits there, a Hindi, you know. If it's a Hindi, I actually, you know. Or she's the training, yeah, the Mahomo, or the Mahoma, but that Hindi. If it's anything here, I'm away from all of all, I mean, humans are sinners. Everybody is a sinner. And how can Christ have people out of sinners to his kingdom? Except he give them righteousness. We cannot have our righteousness. We can never have it. So Christ prepared for them a righteousness. How? By going to the cross and offering his blood. And he pitches that righteousness by his own blood. By offering himself on the cross of Calvary. So those who he brings into his kingdom, those sinners, he freely credit them with his own righteousness. That is what we call imputed righteousness. All those who come to Christ's kingdom, they don't have righteousness of their own. They can never have it. But Christ purchased it for us. He went to the cross to die so that all who come to his kingdom can have his righteousness, can be accepted, so that righteousness can be given to us from his hand. And he do not only impute righteousness unto these people who come to his kingdom. He also causes them to love righteousness. That's two ways. Or in yes, So you see, he gives us and causes us. So there should be two ways. Many people claim of Christ's righteousness, but they don't desire after righteousness. It's false. Nipa be brain na okay, oh, Christ obey one man, I judge you. And so nipa no unfetching here. And I'm like, because obey or castabian or a trophy. Christo, I'm not training here, but also shout now unfetching here. There are two ways. So those he brings into the kingdom, he gives them righteousness and cause them to love righteousness. Else, that whoever will claim to have the righteousness of Christ is a false, claim. And you know, God doesn't accept the righteousness of anyone. Our good works, we are told in Isaiah that they are filthy rags. If Papa is to me here, if I am anymore, Bible says I am to my goofy. And this is what Papa said. I think here I am going to me. Papa, Papa, bra, you are going to. You are going to only be prepared, Papa. If you say money, I can't ever talk. You are going to money, money. I say, and the Christo, pay the children. You are going to pay. If you are the man, not the boy, and anymore, I'm a joke. Not work and Christo, I think you know. Okay, so we have seen that Christ's kingdom was established in righteousness. The next thing we look at is that the nature of his kingdom, Christ's kingdom was set up when he ascended up to heaven and the Holy Spirit descended on the first disciples. Somebody will ask, when was this established? When actually did it happen? Yes, Christ came to this world, he had disciples, but the disciples were formed, were made able to represent Christ really when they received the Holy Spirit, then they were enabled to work as people of Christ's kingdom. So if you read 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, we are told that the believers, now we have received not the spirit of this world, of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But see now, a jedi for a jedi for say, So if you don't have the spirit of Christ, you cannot receive this kingdom into your heart. You cannot know what are the things of the kingdom. You can never. It will be an idea in your head. It will just be something you know about it. So all who are citizens of Christ's kingdom know it. It is not just a notion. Many people can have the notion of Christ's kingdom and have the particulars in their mind, but they do not have the power to live according to that kingdom. So many people are professing Christians, but they are not practicing Christians. And that is where the hypocrisy lies. Because And you know, those who receive this kingdom, although they are in this world, yet they live according to the laws of Christ's kingdom. They don't live according to the laws of this world. They live according to what Christ has showed them in Scripture. Christ himself said to Pilate, Jesus answered in John 18, he said that, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." When Pilate was asking him that, you said, they said that you were king. He said, "You are saying," which means that he said that yes, it's true. And Pilate wanted to know, if he's in this world, and Caesar at that time was the king of the whole world, then where is the kingdom? Christ said that, "My kingdom is not of this world." Though it is in the world, he came to establish it, but it does not come from this world. So that the principles that how the people who are in this kingdom live, it's not according to this world. It has to taught them, they have to learn it. It is not natural to us, it's something we learn, and his word teaches us. The third thing about this kingdom is that this is the kingdom, this kingdom is the universal church of Christ. When we talk about the universal church of Christ, the Bible tells us in the verse 23 of our reading, we say that to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Those who are interested in it, their names are written in heaven. In the universal church of Christ, that is all believers everywhere, anytime, those who are dead, those who are living. It's not the physical church we have here. Yes, we are coming to worship here, but not everybody in the physical church is part of Christ's kingdom. It's part of Christ's kingdom. So this kingdom is the universal church of Christ. Those in heaven, in earth, we have one heart, one mind to the Savior. Not everybody in the physical church is ruled by Christ. Not all who are in the physical church are Christ's people, because not everyone in Christ's church has Christ's kingdom in their heart. Nobody in the physical church has Christ's kingdom in their heart. Though we meet as believers to worship, yet Christ's kingdom is in the heart of those who are truly His. The people of Christ cannot have their names recorded in heaven. There are those that Christ will come and receive to glory when He comes to take this kingdom on earth and His church on earth, which is part of His gospel kingdom, and those in heaven, and He brings all to glory, so that all the kingdoms of the world will be taken away and that Christ's kingdom will be established forever. So that those who are in Christ's kingdom are those who are waiting for Christ's return. Omo ewo Kristo ahindie mu no I want as omo ye jedi for omo na ekem Kristo so be by so ba omo a na ahindie wo makum mu no odi omo so omo na wo be form e dia kwa ni nyam omo na akakwet na da enye omo ewo asore te dia ba sey mu no da bi omo a Kristo ahindie no etina omo akum mu. It is not sad that many people who go to church care not about if their names are written in heaven, in Christ's register in heaven. They are okay when the church, like how we are meeting here, a church on earth like this, physical church, write their name in their register. They are okay, they are Christians. No. That your name in a church register here doesn't make you a Christian. Your name with Christ in heaven makes you a Christian. So many people don't care if their names are in Christ's kingdom. They care, they are okay when their names are written in local church. So my question before I move on is that, are you a member of Christ's kingdom? Everyone hearing me this morning, are you a member of Christ's kingdom? Is your name written in heaven? Is your name among those that Christ's kingdom is set up in their heart? The question we all have to think about. It's because you desire to always go to church, come to church, and yet when Christ comes, you are not part of His people. Remember, He said in Matthew that many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we have done this. Lord, Lord, we have done that." But I will tell them that, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Or say, "When you pray that, and many do say, or back, my back and say, right there, right there. We didn't hear you say, yes, or because I'm confused, so come on, we will be here for." Some of you are more, I'm sorry, I'm okay, I'm so, and so, I'm not sure that Christ is not in here, no, but it's not on my family. No more yet, Those who are happy that they are just going to church, but they don't care that Christ is ruling in their hearts, they are those that Christ will tell them that, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," because they seem to have a form of religion. They were religious, but they were not in their relation with God as well. So secondly, Christ is the king of this kingdom, and all believers are His servants. They are His subjects. Everyone in Christ's kingdom is Christ's subject. They submit to Him. They live as servants. You know how servants live. Let's talk even slaves. How do slaves live? They live according to what their master tells them. They don't have any liberty. They don't have any rights. So those who are in Christ, they don't live for themselves. They live for Christ. They live for Christ. Christ rules in their heart. In Ephesians 5:24, we are told that therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, when you do a comparison between the husband and wife and the church, the church of Christ, the true church of Christ, is subject to Christ. The saints in glory, they are subject to Christ. They live only to Christ. Those on earth, they live only to Christ. Christ rules in their life and their hearts, and those are the true believers. The power of Christ has liberated these people from the kingdom of Satan. He has taken them from Satan's kingdom. In Romans 8, we read that, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ," he says, "has made me free from the law of sin and death." When Christ's kingdom is set in the heart of anyone, the person is liberated by the law of the Spirit of life. By the Spirit, the principles are given. The life is given. And it made that person free from the dominion of sin over his life, and which has made him separated from God. It has, in Ephesians, we say that we have been quickened. We have been brought life to God. We were once separated from him. We never thought about him. We never loved him. We never have our life under his dominion. But when he comes to us, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So, omo akristo, ehin no makume mno, ne hun gongo na ba, abegi omo fi bone ensem, ani owo enso ensem. If we say the bone ti akume mna bone ne dia so a, ene yakopon te mu ate. Ah, na ya bra gwa ego nya so dia ko bone. Na dia ko owo mu, dako ibewu akọ owo mu. So, Christ's kingdom was set up to destroy the kingdom of Satan and sin and death. That's as simple as that. Christ came to set up his kingdom so that his kingdom will take away and destroy the kingdom of Satan. Satan rules in the heart of people who are sinners. When sin dominates your life, then Satan, you are under Satan's kingdom. But when Christ comes and the Holy Spirit dominates your life and you live under his principle, you have been liberated as people who have been captives are liberated by a deliverer from the hand of the one who has held them captive. The Ekan is said, so Christo Ahindiye no odibesi ho se e bese obunsam ahindiye den no obunsam ahindiye obunsam ahindiye ni bone ati ni pa kumem ni bone to akumem ho a wo obunsam ahindiye mu emfa ho ni suma ho sum emfa ho ni nyamenuma ho to emfa ho ni empa bo a wo bone to akumem bone na di abra bo zo a wo ye obunsam dia nowadays no charismatic have made as if that Satan don't want material prosperity, and Satan will buy disease for us. And that's people think that's the work of Satan. No. Sin that has brought all these calamities to this world. What Satan is doing that, he's making sure that people will not leave his kingdom. That is his own thing. It's not about you getting money in the world or not. It's about you not coming to the Christ kingdom. So that's what Satan is doing. In Ephesians 1:2, we read that Satan is a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan. Ọnu na oye juma wo anje ni fu akume omo a emfa Kristo omo a omo ti Kristo but omo fo mo mo anu Bible says Satan na the chumi na ejo omo akume so sinners are Satan are in Satan's kingdom. But why Christ was on earth, Christ who came to liberate us, how did he do? He conquered Satan. When Satan tempted Christ, Christ couldn't submit to the temptation. Christ overcame him. In many ways, Christ overcame him in his temptation. On the cross, Christ caused all the guilt and harm that the kingdom of darkness of sin and Satan had done to those who come to him. He did it. When one is still an unbeliever and a sinner, we build guilt upon guilt, and then Satan still harms us because we continue to sin. We live in darkness of sin. But when Christ comes, Christ went to the cross. When he came, he went to the cross, and his cross, he took sin away. In the Colossians, we are told that he nailed all that the law was against sinners. He nailed it there and took it away from us. So when you come to Christ, then your sins, the punishment for your sin and all that sin, the corruption, the defilement have been taken to the cross of Christ. He has taken it away. But while you still remain a sinner, sad things have not happened to you. Christ has died, he has done this work, and yet you still rove and move about in your own sin, adding up guilt upon guilt. And finally, at his resurrection, he overcame hell and death. See, Satan is the king of all this. Sin, of disobedience, temptations, and also even death. He's used to terrify people. And he has met many people who don't know God to devise so many theories about death. I mean, many idolaters have so many things about that. But Christ came, he rose from the dead, he has destroyed death for believers. He has made us to know that there's life after death. Those who come to Christ will live victorious, living with this body dies, we shall rise up again. And Christ lives forever, and we shall live forever. And so that death is no more a dark place for believers. And then, Christ will buy, you know, say, I'm here, yeah. Of course, in Diana, so sorry for you. Juma, yeah, two of myself, nay, Hindi, I say, Omoa, Obejomono, Omsbenya Sam, Pamuji, is that in your memory. So then, when the gospel of Christ, his death on the cross for sinners, and how he died, offered his blood, when he preached, and people believe in this gospel, that is the only way of salvation. When people believe this, they are delivered from the Satan's kingdom. Because it's the way that Christ did. That brought deliverance for sinners. So whoever believes this gospel of Christ, they have been delivered from the power, the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of Christ. So the gospel is the only thing people have to hear and believe. Then Christ's kingdom is to them. Whoever believes this gospel have been taken away from the kingdom of Satan. You know what some of the pastors and so-called prophets, what they are doing? They rather stand and come unto me. I will deliver you from your demons. I'll deliver you from curses. So what, they are now Christ. They are not savior for people. No, come to Christ. They cannot. It's like they are using the power of demons to cast demons, and then they will tell you that come. They will do those things. No, they can't do it. Only Christ can really take you away from the power of Satan and his kingdom and from sin. When you come and give yourself to him, when you come and look upon his cross, for there he nailed all the sins there. And when you look upon his resurrection, the power that brought him from the dead. There you have the power to overcome your own sin. But there, Christ also buried all that death, sin, and death has ever brought to man. In John 8:33, we are told that if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If any pastor or anyone claims to make you free, you should be a servant, a bond, a slave person to that pastor or to whoever claims. But if you come to Christ, you become Christ's servant. And those who are Christ's servant are free indeed. When a pastor or something tells you to deliver you from whatever you have, you are a servant. You are a servant of man. And then it's better you are still a servant of Satan himself. But then Christ, the Bible tells us, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Total freedom from sin, total freedom from Satan, total freedom from demonic powers, from everything Christ delivers us, because he made us free indeed, truly free. So my question again, before I move on, do you desire liberation from Satan's kingdom? If you have not come to Christ's kingdom, the only way to Christ's kingdom is the cross. Look to the Savior, he hung there for you, he took the curses of the law, he took all that sin has done against us, and he nailed it to his cross. You remember the thief on the cross, when he told the Lord Jesus Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said that, today you'll be with me in paradise. Such is how we come to Christ. We go to him and ask him to remember us and to have mercy on us for what sin has done to us, what we have done as sinners. And there, Christ receives us and take away our sins also. So I move on. Why Christ's kingdom is immovable? That is another part of our verse to come into conclusion. Because we have learned that there's a kingdom. And we have described what the kingdom is and those who are in this kingdom and things that are done in this kingdom. Why Christ is unmovable? God, our verse tells us that, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, which cannot be taken away. Meaning that this spiritual kingdom is unshakable, it's endless, it will live on forever. Those who have it in their hearts will have everlasting inheritance. The can I say, about Bible, I can say, if you say, that Christian Hindi way, no, ain't you moon, ain't you home, Koda. And I'm saying, I just say, soon a Hindi way, say, oh, my, I want. Amunya, I can say, Japadi and I said, Adidia is what I am to Munko. First thing, because Christ, the King of this kingdom, has an everlasting throne. That's one thing. Because the King of this kingdom, Christ himself, has an everlasting throne. His kingdom is forever and ever. In Hebrews 1:8, the first one, we are told that, but unto the Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that his throne, O God, is forever and ever. He has an everlasting dominion. He lives forever. All earthly kings, however strong and majestic their throne are, they are unable to keep it due to many things like illnesses, overthrows, and even death itself. Let them live up to 100 years. When death comes, they have to leave their kingdom. But Christ, he lives again. So his kingdom is forever. He is the infinite God. He lives forever. He is the eternal God. He is the omnipotent, the almighty God. He is the omniscient. And he is the all-knowing God. Nobody can overthrow his kingdom. Nothing can escape him. Many kings, they are overthrown because people even around them work against them and they don't have the knowledge of what is going on. So Christ the King has an everlasting throne which has been established forever. So when his kingdom, you come to his kingdom, or his kingdom comes to your heart, you are sure of having a kingdom that will never pass away. This world shall pass away, everything will be done, and yet Christ's kingdom, if you are a member of Christ's kingdom, it shall never be moved. Secondly, because Christ's kingdom did not come from this world. The second thing we look at, Christ's kingdom did not come from this world. As he told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. And how is the glory of this kingdom seen? The glory of this kingdom. You see, also another heretic or erroneous thought people nowadays put across by many churches, they think that when Christians are advancing in worldly wisdom, education, science, and the laws, and they are bright in that, then Christ's kingdom has been advanced. No, that's not advancement of Christ's kingdom. Christ's kingdom does not stand the wisdom of the world, the education of the world, the science, whatever, the laws of the world. No matter how beautiful they are, Christ's kingdom is not there. So how much knowledge you have in these things of the world does not qualify to be part of Christ's kingdom. And also, it does not stand in honors or fame or accomplishment of the world. You know, those who make things and become popular in this world are not qualified for Christ's kingdom. That's not how they are qualified. Yes, fame, most people can come to Christ, but their fame is not that will bring them to Christ. And also, Christ's kingdom cannot be promoted by the fame of the world or the wisdom of the world. And look at how churches nowadays do. What do? They make people to think that when the church is following after, I mean, world education or helping and all that, that's where Christ's kingdom is seen. No, Christ's kingdom is not seen that way. Where pastors have become like superstars and all that, then Christ's kingdom is not advanced. No, Christ's kingdom is not advanced that way. The Ekkasa said, Christo ne ahindi ne ni onyam ne kasiye no enjina nipa nyansam ene wiase ne oma efemu ene wiase mbra na wiase disua enjina mu. And also, Christ's kingdom does not stand in worldly wealth, gains, or technological advancement, business, or power. It's not that when people who are in the churches are becoming prosperous in the world, then Christ's kingdom is being advanced. That's what people are thinking. When there are rich people in the world, when there are influential people in the world, then Christ's kingdom is being advanced. No, that's not the beauty of Christ's kingdom. Or when churches bring in worldly entertainment and the church is filled with people and people coming dancing and jumping here and there, then they say, oh, many people are coming, even the youth are coming into the church, and that there are so much people who are thinking of that religion. No, that's not the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Sir, Miss, I'm sorry about modern training, and it's just about sorry, them now go for go fast for a so Christo, hey, go for a sorry, but you know, and Mark used to a Hindi, you know, it's no, it is the glory. The glory of Christ's kingdom is seen in the self-denial of believers. When believers take sin, when those who are in his kingdom put a strong resistance against him, when their lives are not lived according to the world, when they hate everything that is tainted with sin, and when they are obedient unto Christ's command, when they want to know what Christ has said, how Christ, the Bible wants them to live, and they are willing to obey, this is where Christ's kingdom is being advanced in this world. And also, when believers love the things of Christ, what are the things of Christ? When you know the Great Commission Christ gave to the church, go ye therefore and teach all nations. When believers are willing and commit themselves to this cause, the love of souls. When sinners are, brought and rescued from sin and made to know that there's going to be judgment, and then people are brought into the kingdom of Christ. That is where Christ's kingdom is being advanced. Christ is used to name Nahindi, you know, ye might choose to copy embra, a jedi for a chibone. Na among person born in Krabbe or Mabrago. Na almost also war a moving. Yes, it's here, my Christian, Nin Sama Wakin Yaw, and that's him. Almost also, I've talked Christian in your mother's Christian, you have been there. Sir, if you do for you be chief of him about him. And my Christian Hindu, and my effort, and I said, and also believers love his worship in sincerity. And right, did it for a pet to name from Siana, Yasum, when before Christ, believers meet in to worship him in truth and in sincerity, where we don't bring anything from the world to support his worship, where we don't take the ideas of the world to come to his worship. That's where Christ's kingdom has been advanced. But what many churches today are rather working against Christ's kingdom, because many people go to worship and their heart is hard as grease, as we read in the Psalm 119. So that the wicked people, their heart is as hard as grease. So stiff and strong against for sins, or sin is sin. People cannot even live the holy life, and yet people think the churches are being advanced. So what does it mean to receive this kingdom? Then I come to my conclusion. Wherefore we receive the kingdom, believers are receiving. So anyone also want to be a believer must receive this kingdom. You know that to receive something as a property, to own it, you take it and it becomes yours. You have a share in it. For instance, if somebody has, there's a family inheritance they are sharing, you have your share, and it becomes your own. So to receive Christ's kingdom is to give your heart to him. That's where Christ's kingdom is set up. It's to give your heart to him. Say the obedient Christ are Indian, so do I come at the man. And one of Christ are Indian, a share of safety. To give your heart to Christ. You know, there must be a repentance from the heart. Why? Because that is where sin is reigning. Christ must reign where sin is reigning. If sin reigns in the heart, Christ cannot reign in the heart. Then Christ's kingdom cannot be set up. You know, sinners, many people cannot have Christ's kingdom with their heart because they have closed the door of their heart to the Savior. They reject his government. They love the government of sin and Satan. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 3, I told that, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot see, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and is not saved is because there is sin in the heart. There is dominion of sin in the heart. Christ cannot see. Christ must come to a heart where there is no sin. So when sin rules the desires of the heart, all the parts of the body comes under its dominion, and Christ's kingdom cannot be set up there. But to receive Christ's kingdom, sin must be repented of. Sin must be put aside. Sin, there should be what? A desire to what? Leave whatever I know as sin in my life. You must be a rebel against your own sin. To have liberty to Christ's kingdom, you must be a rebel against sin. But rather, many people are being rebel against Christ. You have to put rebellion against. How do people rise up to overthrow government? They care less about the laws, the constitution of the land, and they move and try to bring down the high authority, and then they announce they are in authority. So how do you overcome sin? You have to put that great resistance and ask God to help you. You have to ask him to help you. You know that to put resistance against sin, to resist sin, you can't do it on your own. That's why there's prayer there. We can pray to God. Oh Lord, this is my sin. Oh Lord, I want to come to Christ, but this is my problem. I can't come. These sins are too heavy for me. And God answers our prayers from a sincere heart. You cannot do it by yourself. You remember in the Gospels, there was one who cried to the Lord. He said, help thou my unbelief. Christ told him to be. He said that, help thou my unbelief. How? Because she couldn't. I mean, it's like it's a great thing for her, for the person to really trust in the Lord. Help my unbelief. So we have to also cry to the Lord like that. And also remember the publican who stood far away to pray. He said that, Lord, he smote his breast and said that, Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That should be a prayer. That is what God helps. That is where God, immediately you are sincere about that, there's help that will come. God wants people to come to the kingdom of Christ. But how? People stand away because they love their sin. People don't want to give themselves. And as I said, you have to put a great resistance against your sin. You must be a rebel against your sin. Again, to give your heart to Jesus Christ is to confess your sins in sincerity. You come to the Lord, while you are confessing, you know that there are sins you love, you don't want to even bring to him. you want to go back and continue your own way. No, you must come before him in sincerity, confess your sin, ask for his forgiveness by his blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Ask him. He did it. And he said that it is there free for all sinners. Ask that. And when it is done in sincerity, you send his spirit into your heart. And you come and dwell in your heart. The kingdom has been set up. There's a new person. And the angels of heaven will be happy. They will be rejoicing. But that's what the Bible says, that those sinners, when they come to Christ, you know, they are happy because someone has been liberated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Christ must reign. He must reign forever. You know, the Holy Spirit is holy. He cannot dwell in the sinful heart. He must come and bring the kingdom. He cannot dwell. So first, the heart must be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And then, that is, you must come in repentance. In Acts 3, verse 19, we are told, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You have to repent. And then the times of refreshing, where the Holy Spirit will come and bring you peace and write peace on your heart, where Christ's kingdom can be set up there, and then you can live a peaceful life and a comfort life in a troubled and distressed world, where you can have a refuge to run to in times of difficulty, where you can have peace at time of death, so that nothing in this world can trouble you. So I come to my conclusion, and then the last one, to receive Christ's kingdom is to be his follower. People want to think about salvation without being Christ's followers. No, it's to be his follower. In Mark 8:34, Christ said, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You must be Christ's follower. You must desire to follow Christ in every aspect of your life. That is part of your repentance, because you have never lived for him. That should be it. People want to, Christ forgive my sin, I want to live my life. No, it's a fake repentance, fake confession. When you want Christ to forgive yourself, you must have the heart to follow him. You must be willing to forego your earthly enjoyment or achievement if it is a hindrance to trusting and surrendering your life to Christ. I did hear you about God say, and it say, do my deal, they are, and I said, if you this way, I see who Christ said, put me from my Christ, you know. I say, with Jemuna, if you say, when Jemuna and Gua, a bear, to do the other amount. Christ must be your master, else you can't be in his kingdom. Ask yourself, who is the citizen of Ghana? Because you want to live under the laws of Ghana. That's why you're a citizen. You abide by the constitution, then we live by the constitution. You look at other people who set, let's say, some goals in life. I want to achieve this by this age. I want to do this at this time. What they do, they forgo everything. Even if they have, if they are people who like to play football, or they have other games, they have some social activities, they put everything aside and concentrate. Like maybe a student at school, maybe he wants to write some exam and pass. He will not want to even have anything with friends. This is for worldly achievements. What about the kingdom that cannot be taken away? What about that which will remain with you in life forever? Think about that. That is what Christ has come to set up. And that anything in the world that will stand in the way might be taken away. Else Christ can never reign. And where Christ does not reign, forget about glory. Forget about heaven. There will not be heaven. There is no heaven for any person as such. Christ must reign now, or heaven will not be received. So may the Lord help each and every one of us to think through this and see how Christ's kingdom is glorious, and how we can also come by repentance and trust on his blood that he shed at the cross of Calvary. It's not hard. Christ has made it, but it's our sin that has made it hard for people to come to Christ's kingdom. Let's pray together.